Hey there, welcome to this week's message from Real Life Ministries. We are so glad that you're here. We hope that this message will encourage and inspire you to walk closer with Jesus. Now sit back, relax, and let's dive into the Word together.
How's everybody doing? Good, good, good. Before we get started, there's something important that I want to celebrate this morning. If you're not aware of this, this weekend 1 year ago was our first service here. I know, it's amazing. And if you were here, we talked about the fact that our desire of our hearts was to use this facility as a resource, as a launching pad, as a place for ministry, a place to train, a place to serve our community, baptism in the pond even. Number of things that God has enabled us to do over this last year, but I want to remind you all that this is just a building. We are the church, right? And this is a wonderful resource. We don't want to take it for granted, but we also want to keep it in its proper perspective. And I'm super proud of you guys because you guys are a church that serves so faithfully and reaches out into this community. And so well done, church, and go God, right? Well, we started a series 3 weeks ago called Simple Christmas. And really the heart, our intent behind the message was just to say, how do we remove the dross, the noise, all the confusion surrounding Christmas? You know, we live in a culture that tries to obscure it in every way. It's the largest commercial marketing time of the year. More money is spent. I mean, you guys get the picture, right? And the first week, we just talked about the simple deception and how we really want to step back from that and reevaluate why we are here for Christmas, to celebrate the birth of our Lord and Savior. And then last week, Titus talked about the simple story. And the thing that was funny in his message was he said, it's a simple story, but it's actually not so simple. And the reason why he said that was because he took the perspective of looking through the eyes of Mary and Joseph and really looking at how they navigated some rather challenging things. If you can imagine, the story that they had to share with their family was a little extraordinary, right? And it was through their faithfulness, through their faith and their trust in God that they were able to navigate this in spite of fear, doubt, all the other things. They actually had peace in the midst of trial, right? Big trial. Well, this week, we're going to talk about a simple message. And we're going to be in Luke chapter 2, and we're going to look specifically at the shepherds and Simeon's story embedded in Luke chapter 2. But I want to start by asking you guys a question, and I think it's important to think about for a minute. What do you do? The question would be, what do you do when God asks you to do something? Do you feel ill-prepared, unequipped, not educated enough? What emotion associates when you hear from God and God says, I want you to do X, whatever that is, how do you feel? Is it above your pay grade? You guys get that? You guys experience that when you believe that God wants you to do something and you're like, there's no way I could do that, right? And you're right. You can't do that outside of the power of His Holy Spirit and His wisdom governing us as we respond to Him, right? But I also believe you can answer the question, no. And I believe the reason why is because God will not call us to something that He hasn't equipped us to do. The question is, what has He equipped you to do? And we're going to talk about a simple messenger delivering a simple message today. And so He has equipped us with a simple story, a simple message, and we're called to be faithful to deliver that. And we're going to see that in the text. We see it with the shepherds in this story. And so I want to start by just going back and going, who were the shepherds for a minute? I think it's important for some context to understand the heart of God. So follow along with me in Luke chapter 2, starting in verse 8. Here's the word of the Lord. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over the flocks at night. an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them. And I want to stop there for just a minute, because it's really easy just to read this as a cute little story or see it on a Christmas card. But do you realize what just happened here? And there was a theophany where God revealed himself on earth through an angel to these shepherds in the middle of the night, in the darkness. And it wasn't only that God revealed himself, but the word, he came in glory. That word glory, we don't even have words for it. It's this manifestation of God that is not verbal per se, but it leads us to really have, in the Greek, to have a good opinion of what is being said. And then when you see that the light shone, that word actually means that there was physical light around this angel. So it's important for us to wrap our heads around the kind of encounter that the shepherds had. It wasn't your average, daily, mundane, oh, God told me this, right? It was something extraordinary. Well, let's follow along in the message, okay, what it says here. It says that they were terrified. Anybody else be terrified by that encounter? Just a couple of you guys? You know, every encounter that people have with angels in the Bible, what do? Boom. Right? They're down. Powerful. Verse 10, but the angel said to them, do not be afraid. Sensible response. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths lying in a manger. Verse 13, suddenly a great company of heavenly hosts appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace to those whom his favor rests. When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about. So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby who were lying in the manger. When they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told them about this child. And all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. But Mary treasured up these things and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told. It's a great, great message, great story. But I want to stop for a minute and just go, who were the shepherds? Who were the shepherds? They actually tended or took care of in Bethlehem, the temple sheep and lambs, who, by the way, were being prepared for sacrifice. And there's so much more in this story than what you read on the surface when you connect all the dots together. But they took care of the temple flock. They were outcasts. They were seen as the lowest rung in their culture by many. They were viewed as unclean by the religious leaders. And yet they performed a very important part of God's sacrificial system. They were poor, nomadic in nature. We know this because they lived under the stars, where the angels appeared to them. They had no real social standing, any social status. They made very little money. By today's standards, very little money. They were the blue collar of blue collar. And yet you have to ask yourself the question, why would God appear to them, seemingly the most insignificant in their culture, in their time? Why them? Well, I want to look at some history here for a minute, because when we look at the word in total, we see God using shepherding throughout his word. You realize that? God actually used men like Abraham, like Moses and David at one point in their lives, who were shepherds to lead God's people. And so if you stop for a minute and you look at the heart of God, maybe the first thing you realize is this might not be so unique or unusual why he would pick them. God used shepherds to reveal Jesus, because the whole concept of shepherding alludes to who Jesus would be and how he would lead. He would lead in humility. He would lead as a shepherd. So God used him. I believe that God chose shepherds because the role of a biblical shepherd is real insight into the heart of God. It's real insight. I believe David wrote Psalm 23 that many of you are familiar with when he was king, reflecting back on who he knew God was and who God was in his life. Listen to David, starting in verse 1 of Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd. I lack nothing. He says, I have no need because of the Lord. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He refreshes or restores my soul. He guides me along the right paths for his name's sake. Shepherd's role was to feed, was to protect, was to guide, was to take care of and nourish sheep. That was their role. And it's right smack dab in the middle of God's word, many places that you look, and especially in the middle of the Christmas story. It's amazing. God chose shepherds because they were marginalized by society. And I believe in this case, he chose to reveal his love to them because of their humility to respond. Their humility to respond. You know, the unique thing about shepherds would sacrifice themselves for the well-being of the sheep. But if we're really in tune with the culture of the religious leaders of the time, the religious leaders would use their sheep or their followers for their own good. And they would want us as the sheep to actually sacrifice for the leaders. And God says, you got this all backwards. It's upside down. It's not right. And Paul talks about this in 1 Corinthians chapter 1. He says this, but God chose the foolish things of the world to shame the wise. God chose the weak things of the world to shame the strong. God chose the lowly things of this world and the despised things and the things that are not to nullify the things that are. And I want you to look at this for a minute. I think this text is saying that when Jesus comes, he levels the playing field. You're not socially up here and you're not socially down here when it comes to relationship with Christ Jesus. Even level playing field. But I love what he does here. If you notice this, he appears to the shepherds before he appears to the wise men. You ever think about that? It's like he appeared to Peter, the fisherman, before he appeared to the Apostle Paul, to the one that had knowledge. Level field, level field. It's important. I believe that he chose the shepherds to affront the pride of the religious leaders because I believe that they were too proud to tell others. I believe that their hearts were in the wrong place and therefore missed the Messiah. And God knew their hearts were in the wrong place because they were prideful and they wanted to possess the power that they had. So God went and did an end around, right? You'd think the natural place would be he'd go to the religious leaders. They were supposed to represent him. It's not what happened. Does your pride or fear or what you may perceive as your lack of ability keep you from being a simple messenger with a simple message? It's important to think about for a minute. You know what? All the shepherds had to do was tell their story, the testimony. They testified about what they saw and what they heard. Simple message. I believe we can all get in the way of the simple message. We each, if you are a believer in Christ Jesus, have a story, a testimony about what the Lord has done in your life. Are you willing to give that simple message? I believe God chose shepherds because they had nothing to offer Mary and Joseph. In other words, they didn't come with their badges on and all that they had and all their works and all their societal things. They came in simple, humble obedience to share what they had seen. Not by their works, not by any position. And I just stop to think about this and go, If God could use a shepherd, he could use me, right? He could use you, right? If the playing field's level and Jesus has leveled the whole thing, then why not? Why not? Now, I want to talk about Simeon for a minute. Now, Simeon was a man who lived at the time of the birth of Jesus. He was an Israelite. And the word tells us some things about Simeon. We'll read it in a second. But he played an important role in the Christmas story, just as the shepherds did. Their testimonies, the shepherd's testimony, before Mary and Joseph, as well as Simeon's, did something important to help them digest Mary and Joseph's angelic visitations. Have you ever thought about that? It's like, God is so good to send confirmation to us after he asks us to do something that's super radical. Like, okay, we're on right track. Have you ever done that? Like, okay, God, all of a sudden it's like, you start off and you're doubting, like, what do we do with this? I'm not sure. What, did we hear from God or whatever? And then God sends someone with a simple message and you're like, there it is. Anybody in here? I hope. So let's read Luke 2:25 and on. I just a little context to this. The word says that Mary and Joseph, on the eighth day after the birth of Jesus, they left Bethlehem and they went up to Jerusalem because he was to be circumcised, 8 years old. That was the custom of the day for every Hebrew boy to be circumcised. And because Jesus was a Jew, he did that as well. Let's read what the word says. Now there was a man in Jerusalem called Simeon who was righteous and devout, and he was waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was on him. It had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not die before he had seen the Lord's Messiah. Moved by the Spirit, he went into the temple courts. When the parents brought the child Jesus to do for him what the custom of the law required, Simeon took him in his arms and praised God, saying, "Sovereign Lord, as you have promised, you may now dismiss your servant in peace, for my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the sight of all nations, a light for revelation to the Gentiles and the glory of your people." That's one of these texts that we just zip past in the Christmas story, but it's super prophetic and it's super special. Here is an Israelite that had been waiting his entire life for the Messiah. The longing in his heart. You ever wait for a long time for something? Like something really long, like your whole life? Like, I don't know about you, but the older I get, the more this desire for the Lord to return becomes more and more real in my life, right? And the longing for it, to see it come to fruition. I mean, has anybody else in here experienced how jacked up this world is? And it's like, have you ever come home, Jesus, right? Return for us. Simeon waited patiently. But the word is cool here because it says something about him. In his waiting, he was a righteous, devout man. He had right standing before God, not because he could keep the law perfectly, but because of his faith, just like the faith that Abraham was declared righteous with all the way back in the book of Genesis. He had right standing before God, and he was devoted. He was holy. He had set his life apart. I hope you catch this. There's humility in all over the Christmas story, in all of the characters. There's a humility that God loves and longs to communicate with people who have opened up their hearts and are willing to respond to his simple message. Simeon, like the angels, had an encounter with God. The Holy Spirit spoke to him. When I think about this, I really believe that Simeon was, because of his faithfulness to God, was so in tune with the word or with God's voice that he was able to respond when God called him. Are you in tune with the Lord's voice? It's important. It's important. He was led to go into the temple that day, and he found Jesus and knew exactly who Jesus was. Yeah, it's an amazing story if you stop and pause and think about it. This old guy longing for the comfort, for the redemption that the Messiah would bring. His heart was set not on things of this earth, but on heaven. And God revealed himself to him. But I want to look at how they all responded, how the shepherds and Simeon responded, because that's where we can really apply this text. The shepherds, they listened and paid attention. Now, I don't know if it was because it was this giant rock concert that came down from heaven in the middle of a field. I mean, obviously that was extraordinary what happened there. But I started thinking about myself, and sometimes I'm looking for the lightning bolt or the big neon sign that says, "Go here, Jim." Is anybody else in there? And then my lovely wife is like, "Jim, it's right here." No, it's right here. No, it's right here. It's like Elijah. After he did all the big stuff on Mount Carmel, he stuck his thumb in his mouth and went and hid. And the word says that the Lord came to him in a still small voice. It wasn't this big rock concert like it was on Mount Carmel. How do we discern what the Lord wants us to do if we're not listening? The shepherds, as simple as they were, responded. Look what they did. They didn't wait. They left immediately for Bethlehem. They were guarding the sheep, and they left their sheep because God offered them something better. Are you stuck on, are you in a rut maybe, on what is comfortable to you? I don't want to do that. My life's good right now. If I share this simple message with this relative, then they're going to look at me like a wacko. Right? Simple. They responded. You know what's amazing about this to me? They were shepherds when they left their fields, and they were shepherds when they return. You know what the difference was? Their perspective. When we have an encounter with God, like a real salvation encounter, that those of us that are in Christ Jesus, the message, the focus of our lives is supposed to change. They were changed, generated a response in their lives, where they shared and told this message to everyone, the word says. Are you willing to share what Jesus has done in your life? Do you realize Christmas affords us probably the best window to share the good news with people? Even though it's a diluted holiday and celebration in our culture, people, when they stop deep down, know that there's something more than just Santa and gifts. Amen? Do you realize that as a Christian, your role is to be an ambassador? Paul talks about this in 2 Corinthians chapter 5. In the context of that, he talks about the fact that we're new in Christ Jesus, right? The old is gone, the new has come. Then he says this in verse 20. We are therefore, as a result of what Christ has done, therefore, Christ's ambassadors, as though God were making his appeal through us. Do you hear that? You're called to be an ambassador. And here's the deal. When we see something special or exciting in our life, what is our first response? Stop for a minute and think about this. You want to go tell someone close to you, right? You want to go tell someone about something that happened that's exciting. And I was really convicted of this. So Christy and I are driving home the other night. It's late. We're driving on the road. I'm not going to tell you Hunter's where. But she says, "Hey, there's a big bull elk in the middle of the road." And I'm looking all over on the side. And I didn't. All of a sudden, the elk's a big monster, beautiful bull, 6x6 at least. Headlights wouldn't go that high. And I'm like, whoa. And we start talking about this. It was too late for me to text my buddies about the elk. I texted a few in the morning because I wanted to tell someone about it. Then I'm thinking about it. Wait a minute. I'm that excited about a bull elk, but what about my Jesus, right? Anybody else in here get all excited about something, but what should we be most excited about? And I'm not saying this to shame you, but look, let's keep our eyes on the prize here. Elk is good to eat, right? Jesus is far better. Those who heard were amazed. What's amazing in this story is we don't know what the outcome of the people that heard what the shepherds said. All the word says is they were amazed, they were excited, they were surprised. What did they do as a result of that? We don't know. The point I want to make here is that they were the faithful ones, the simple messengers with a simple message, irregardless of the outcome. You guys, our responsibility is only to sow truth, only to sow the story, the good news that God has done in our life. The outcome of that is up to God. That should lift a lot of pressure off of this Christmas and whether you want to invite someone here to hear the good news or not, or share it yourself. We're the sowers. That's it. We're not the Holy Spirit. We don't have this supernatural, ooh, I'm going to make you think and, you know, argue into whatever. No, that's God's job, right? Simeon shared with Mary and Joseph something really important. Because I believe there's a lot of humanity in Mary and Joseph. The story doesn't tell us of all the nuances that they went through, but they were flesh and blood. They were sinners, right? They must have experienced some things that were rather challenging when Joseph is trying to tell his parents that his fiance is pregnant, but he didn't do it, right? They must have thought, this would be hard, you guys. Like, relationally, if you let this story play out, it's hard. But what I love is that God knows how hard it is, and he sends a messenger to them that prophetically eases their challenges. They looked at each other, I'm sure, and said, we're not so crazy after all. Like, right? Simeon said Jesus would be the Savior of the world. Mary heard that from the angel. Simeon said Jesus would reveal himself to the Gentiles. That's a prophetic message that we see play out. Thank the Lord, as Gentiles. Simeon said Jesus would bring glory upon the people of Israel. Do you realize his longings and his expectations as a man that was patient and I believe old in life and his journey? Worship team, you guys can come on up. I believe that in the midst of that, Simeon was like, okay, I've seen the Messiah. You know what his words are? Basically, Lord, you can take me home now. I want you to stop and think about this man's heart for a minute. He waited a long time to see the Messiah, a huge longing in his heart. And God poured his favor on that man and allowed him to prophesy, to bring encouragement. But think about this man for a minute. He held true to what he knew to be right. He was faithful, and God honored that. And you know what's cool about this? You guys may not realize this, but God is at work in all of our lives, Christian or not, okay? And there may be people in your life that God is doing something that you are totally unaware of. And perhaps all God wants you to do is share your simple story with them, and that might be the very thing that allows them to step over the threshold of fear and shame and receive Jesus as Lord and Savior. Is that something that you're willing to do. I mean, I think all of us that have been navigating planet Earth for a while are eager to see Jesus return, right? But in the interim, we're called to do something that God's equipped us to do. Do you realize that every one of us in here is a storyteller? You are. You may not be like a really good embellisher of the story, and hopefully you're not embellishing the good news, but you have a story. And I believe each of us are faced with a decision to go. To go. Now, going to church is great. I'm not talking about going to church. Please come to church. You guys are family. The Great Commission says that we're to go into this world with a message, right? Are you willing to do that? I was thinking about this early this morning. You know, the message of the gospel is for everyone. And yet, because of God's free will, he gives us the ability to respond to that message, right? You may even be in here today visiting. You're not here by mistake if you are. You may not even be a follower of Christ Jesus. You're here because God wants you here. And God has a message for you. He says, I've designed you, I've made you, I know everything about you. I know your hurts, your hang-ups, your fears, your pain, all that you've been through. And I want to walk with you. But you have to respond. And here's the point. I want to marry these two things together. Okay, if people need to hear the word proclaimed, the good news proclaimed, who is God going to use? All of us, right? It's a pretty basic message. We're simple messengers with a simple message. Amen? This isn't rocket science. If you need prayer, I encourage you to come up on the other side and receive prayer. But I want to just pray. I mean, like Christmas is like right here, right? It's just right there. Real quick. I want to pray for us that we would be intentional with the time God's given us, with the message that he's given each of us. Father God, we come before you not because we have badges or that we're all that in society or we know all this information. We come before you because of what you've done for us. We stand in your righteousness, not in our own. God, would you enable each and every one of us to get past our fear and our hang-ups, our pride, our insufficiencies, our broken pieces, our shame, and just be simple messengers with a simple message. God, that you came to planet Earth to have a relationship with us, to love us, to point us back to the Father, and to ultimately invite us into eternity with you. God, we long for the day when you come and return for us, but until then, will we be found doing your work of giving your message? And all God's people said, amen. Let's stand up and worship.
We want to thank you for spending part of your day with us. Our mission at Real Life is to reach the world for Jesus one person at a time. If you'd like more info on the ministry or a giving opportunity, be sure to download the RLM app or visit us online at reallifeministries.com.